that I had a delivery for you, and it was very important. You were going to be very pleased. It was going to be very helpful, but it had a shelf life on it, and you needed to make sure that you went and took care of it, maybe like it was eggs or something, you know, something very important that could mess up, could get messed up in the sun, or somebody could steal it. And I said, now look, it's very important that I know where you're going to be, or the universe form for you to know where I'm going to be so you can come get it, or that I can bring it to you. And then you go, I tell you, I'm going to be at the front door of the church at 10 o'clock. And at 10 o'clock, you go to Walmart in the parking lot and wait. And then when you don't see me, you go inside Walmart and ask everybody where I'm at. And say, well, I just don't understand, because he said he's going to meet a need, and I just don't understand. I'm right here. I thought I heard him say Walmart parking lot. What did I say? At when? When? At 10. Okay. God many times tells us, shows us in his word, and then we do it our way. And then we say, well, where was God? Why did he let us down? Did y'all see where God was? I have no idea. And we're in Walmart, thinking we're at the saving place, and God's at the front door of the church, or vice versa, wherever. I'm just using that as a scenario. So same way with self-esteem. Until we get our self-esteem knowing who we are in God, then this other stuff is going to be kind of hit and miss, because we don't know who we are in God. I want you to look at somebody and say, you are very special in God. Tell somebody that. You're very special in God about there, young lady. Getting younger all the time. I want some of your fountain of youth stuff. You're very special, Eddie. Jeannie, you're very special. Don, you're very special in God. You know that? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Ready? Now I want you to look at the person and tell him this. Even though you drove the nails in his hands, even though you drove the nails in his hands, he loves you more than you love him. Even though, Eddie, even though Jeannie, even though Donnie, Donnie and Jeannie is like going to be like Donnie and Marie. Okay. Okay. Well, that's what we're doing now. Okay, I'll explain that to you. Let me finish this and I'll go right to that. Okay, don't let me forget. Okay, I'll go right to it. I promise. All right. So watch. Look. Now watch this. Look at that another person and say, he wants to use you more than you want to be used. Now watch this one. Get ready. He's got more power for you, and without him, you are incapable to receive it. Go ahead. He got more power for you, but without him, you're incapable to receive it. Now, isn't that some cool stuff? That's powerful. That's powerful. Okay. Now, the church sign, cross training inside. Sometimes it's a good thing just to get people's attention to use something that's actually a thing in the world, a saying in the world, to get somebody's attention, and then do a play on those words. Now, there's gym training with weights. Then there's gym training that you walk on a treadmill. And when you're doing all of it, all of this, you're doing your aerobics and you're doing this and you're running outside, you're doing all this. That's called cross training, because you're crossing over into all the areas. And on TV, you'll see them talk about the cross trainers from some of those places. Yeah, yeah. And so you see the guy up here and he's doing like this and it says cross training. Okay. Well, we took that idea, because you're actually training in all the areas. It's like training for the decathlon, 10 events, decathlon, deca, 10 events. You are going to be cross-training, okay? So the same way, a triathlon, you're going to swim, you're going to run, and ride that bicycle, yeah. And so again, that's cross-training. And there's also one where you shoot the 22. So watch. So here you go. So up here, that says cross-training in here, meaning we're not cross-training this study in that way, but we're taking the cross of Jesus and training people how to accept the cross in your life. Right. So what it means is training you how. You're being trained about the cross, the power of the cross, and all that. Okay. All right, so here we go. Here we go. God has so much for us to experience in this life. He has provided a way in every situation that we may find ourselves in. So many times we get harmed by circumstances. If it's not handled correctly, we can bleed to death. And again, I keep telling you, I see it all the time. I was in the surgical center today, and I saw it in there. And I even had, there was this one young man, he had two kids, and one name was Noah, and the other name was Eli. And I said, that's some, a two-year-old and a four-year-old, four-year-old was getting surgery. And I said, that's some awesome biblical names. He said, yeah, I thought it was a good idea to name my kids from the Bible. And I said, well, I named my two boys from the Bible, too. He said, really? What did you name them? I said, Lucifer and Satan. I also got Bethany upset. Bethany today because Sierra wanted Krispy Kreme donuts. So I went and got two. I have a box, plus I bought some stuff from the other Sierra. There's little things you buy one, get one free. So I still had some of those. And so I bought them. She wanted some regular donuts and some black or chocolate donuts. So I got those and got everybody. I got two dozen. And while we're standing there, Bethany, there's this guy standing beside me, a young guy, and he's chiseled. He's standing here like this. And he goes up and he picks up his box. Look, and he goes up and he takes his box and he kind of just throws it like John Wayne and just stands there. Like matter of fact, it looked like he belonged in the magazine. He was going. And Beth looked at me and she said, how can he be so gorgeous, chiseled, and eat those donuts? And I said, I don't know, ask him. I said, yeah, I said, I said, I don't know. I asked him. So I walked up and I tapped him on the back and he said, yes, sir. I said, my daughter wants to know how you can look so good and still be eating those donuts. And he and he turned red and I looked back at Bethany and she was so red. Bethany just went. And I said, well, I said, how old are you? He said, I'm 24. I said, I look like that when I was 24. And I said, yeah, and it was funny. And so everybody had a big laugh. But I'm gonna tell you how God worked. We got to the place, and DC is so nervous because Sierra's trying not to cry, but she's crying, and she's so nervous, and has got DC nervous, and DC was trying not to cry, and DC was, you know, and DC said, Daddy, did you get a, what do you call it to say, the raspberry? Did you get one of those raspberry filled donuts? I said, no, son, I'll get them nasty things. I never asked for any of those. He goes, I sure would like to have a raspberry. I said, there's apple field, and there's cream field, and there's lemon field. And then there's the round ones and some chocolate covered ones. And he said, I sure would like to have a raspberry one. And he picks it up and bites into it in this raspberry. We did not ask for raspberry. No, I said, I want lemon field. I want, because the same thing I get when I'm there. You can ask Stephen. I get apple field, a lemon field, and a white field, and that's what I asked for. You know why? Because they all them guys get raspberry, that old nasty one, and then I get it there and they take mine and start eating on it, and I got to pick theirs up. So I put a hole and I so they hold it over. And I put a hole in mine, and then so Stephen started putting two holes in his. And you know what though? People laugh ass when we sit down to eat. We're not going, is that yours? Is that mine? Is that yours? Is that mine? But me and Stephen are eating while our ass is going, is that yours? No, this is yours. But I tell you what now, it's aggravating in my house. When I was a kid, it was aggravating. And even when DC and Daniel were small, to get a box of candy without a map on it, chocolate candy without a map, showing you what? Because you go to pick it up going, oh, wow, that looks good. And you pick it up. When you pick it up, the bottom falls out because they picked it up, man. and stuck it back in. You didn't know it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, about that, disappointing. What I was going to say is I was in there, and I was talking to these people, and I saw so many people, and I went up to a minister who was 73. And I hadn't seen this man to talk to him probably in 20 years. And when I was having a rough time, when I first started the first church, I was having a rough time because it was just a hard thing. And he invited me to come do a revival. And the Lord just did some awesome stuff. It was awesome. It was just amazing. The Lord really gave me a good old shot in the arm and kept me from, I was even thinking about, you know, Lord, did I even hear you? You know, and it changed my whole attitude, helped my outlook. And so I told him today, I said, man, if you only knew how much you helped me, God used you to give me a shot in the arm. And he had tears in his eyes. And we got relieved, put my arm around him and looked over his wife and I said, now this is an awesome man of God here. He went, well, and she says, I know it, but he don't. But you know what? See, in there, he was bleeding. And I got a chance to tell him he helped me when I was bleeding. See, that's awesome. Yeah, so I'm saying is, I made sure once I saw that, I made sure, and I didn't make up anything. I didn't find something to make up. What I did was I went back and I addressed some things, and I told him some things. And it was just, it was really, really awesome. So, people come in here every Sunday, they're bleeding. They may be wearing their best suit, looking sharp, their hair and everything's right in place. And him and his wife, or his wife and her husband, have fussed all the way up here. They may have even been talking about divorce or calling it quits, period, on the way up here. They get in church and go, hey, how you doing? Glory, hallelujah! And go back outside and say, you want the kids this weekend, I get them next weekend? You don't ever know. And I get a chance to hear this stuff. Not here lately. No, no, no. I'm talking over the years. I got a chance to hear that. Okay? So, again, people are bleeding and we don't know it. So, we got to be careful what we say because you may be the one that goes ahead and they've only got three legs on the stool standing because one's already knocked out. And you come up and try to, you know, you're trying to, you think you're just releasing some steam or you think you're being funny or whatever, but you say the wrong thing at the right time and you kick another leg out of that stool. And so you got to be real careful, real careful. You know, I would say that if you would, it's like when I go into Walmart, or like today at McDonald's, I'm sitting there at McDonald's, and I'm trying to hurry up me so we can get to church, and this woman comes in, and she's bleeding. And instead of just going on walking on out, I made sure, after she came and talked to us, I made sure that I went back and reached out to her. Because, you know, her mama having a heart attack and now being transferred to Greenville from Williamston, that's not good. And so, again, you never know what people are going through when you see them. So, we need to find what God says for our own self and stop our own bleeding first. Because if you don't stop your own bleeding, you're going to bleed to death before you can help anybody else. And you might think it's heroic. You know, I remember she said when I was younger, they'd tell me, slow down, son, you're going to burn out. And I thought this was so awesome. I said, well, I'd rather burn out than to rust out. And then the Lord spoke to me one day and said, either way, you're no good. Really hurt, and I'll tell you. Well, you know what? If you burn out because you haven't taken care of yourself, it don't matter why you burn out. If you burn out for good causes or bad causes, once you're burnt out, you burn out. You burn out. And there's times where I've burnt out, and I find myself, actually when I get burnt out, I find myself hindered in areas where I shouldn't have been hindered and have problems in areas I shouldn't have problems because I'm burnt out or helping certain people certain ways, but I don't because I'm burnt out. And so, I have to be careful. And usually when you get burnt out, the first people you hurt are the people around you. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. Your family. They're the ones you usually wind up hurting because you're burnt out and you just can't take it. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I'm having a good day, I can maybe take somebody slap me. One of my cousins come up and slap the pure immortal whatever out of me, you know, on the back and laugh and cut up. But I'm already having a bad day and I'm sore and I'm hurting. He come up and slap me. You know, y'all remember Amos and Andy? I can't remember if it was Amos or Andy, but one of them kept hitting the other one in the chest. Every time he comes to him, hit him in the chest. So he looked over at Kingfish and said, he comes up to hit me today, I got him. He said, you got him. He said, I'm going to break him from that. I've asked him, he won't stop. I'll break him from it. He said, how? And he opens up his jacket. He's got dynamite strapped to his chest. So he's going to break. He's going to break him, all right. He's going to kill himself, too, in the middle of all this. And that's what a lot of us do. We got it strapped to us. So we got to be careful. So all of us face life-altering disappointments that leave us breathless. I mean, when I say breathless, I'm talking about something happens, you go, oh. You know, like poor Sierra today, when she got through with that surgery, she was hurting so bad, and it was in between getting pain medicine. She tried not to cry, but then she couldn't breathe, and it was terrible. And I watched her cry, and there was her mama crying, her daddy crying, and I was trying to be strong and, you know, put my arm around DC, and he's holding on to Sierra's hand, and it was just, you know, because Sierra doesn't cry. I've seen her break fingers, toes, and still play volleyball, run through that fence, and still play ball, you know, been slapped in the head with a ball and keep right on going, got slapped beside the head one day with the ball. The pitcher was being arrogant to her, and so she picked it up and threw it back at the pitcher. yeah. So for her to cry is something. But there's things that take our breath away. So often these disappointments come unexpectedly, leaving us with more questions than answers. But even when we don't have all the answers, and sometimes we don't have any answers. Sometimes we got partial answers. Sometimes we at least got an idea. And sometimes we have no idea whatsoever. When we don't have any answers or any other answers, God. That's all I got to say. I ain't got to say God's got all the answers. God, I could put a whole lot of stuff in there, but just watch this. God. Period. Whatever our circumstances, where we stand on the highest mountain or wander through the darkest valley, God is ready to protect, comfort, and heal us. Our task is to let Him. You know, we're trying to help my in-laws, and sometimes it's like I got to hold them down to help them. You know, if you'll stay still long enough and let me, I'll help you. Same thing with my kids sometimes. They got to do the same thing with me. The other night, there was this heavy old thing of can of drinks. See how now drinks come in these long, the canned drinks? Well, it was in the back of Linda's car. When I was trying to get stuff out of the car, I had my arms full. I told Linda, let me get it. And she said, I got it. I said, Linda's too heavy. Oh, I got it. I said, Linda, let me get it. She said, oh, I got it. I said, and then I called her Winford, which was her daddy's name. She goes, okay. But before she did, she picked it up. When she picked it up, the little wrapper broke, and then they fell all over the ground, and they busted holes in them, and there was stuff going everywhere. And I said, that's when I said, okay, Winford. And she said, okay, I back off. I said, yeah, but see, let me help you. You don't have to be strong all the time. And sometimes God's trying to help us, and we're trying to be so strong that we're not letting Him. I've told Sierra in the last couple of weeks, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. I told her today twice, as long as your head leaks, it won't swell. And she would laugh and then wouldn't cry, said Sierra. It's okay. And she would turn her head and I said, Sierra, just let it go one time. You'll feel a whole lot better. And she did. Right after that, she did. After I told her I saw a movie where John, I said, I saw a movie the other day where John Wayne was crying. If he can cry, you can cry. And that's when she let it go. Okay. Life is filled with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. During the happy times, we're tempted to take our blessings for granted. How many do that? During the happy times, we take our blessings for granted. During life's difficult days, we discover what we're made of and what our faith is made of. Matter of fact, you say, are you God? Are you trying to find out what I'm made of? No, he's trying to show you what you're made of. He's trying to show you what you got inside because he knows. That's right. So, that's right. If your faith is being tested by difficult circumstances, here's three questions. Here's what I want you to remember to ask yourself. Whenever you find yourself in this situation, there's three questions I want you to ask yourself. Every time, ask you this. Ask your own self this. Number one, how does God want me to respond? Think about it. I'm just going to sit there and think about it for a minute. But sometimes you got to get rough in the responses. Sometimes you got to step back. And so you got to ask God, which is it? God, do you want me to step up to the plate right now, or do you want me to step back? You tell me how to respond, because there could be somebody out there just waiting to help you, but as long as they see you trying to struggle on your own, they're not going to help you. They'll say, well, he don't want me to help him. He's too busy trying to do it himself. So ask God, how do you want me to respond? Do you want me to step out and do it myself? Do you want me to wait back and wait for somebody to help me? Do you want me to ask for some help? Some people are just waiting to be asked. Just waiting to be asked. And so again, that's your number one question. God, how do you want me to respond? Number two, when you're going through difficult times, God, what do you want me to learn from this? That's powerful. What do you hear? If you allowed it for a reason. I like to call it a reason for the season. Okay, if you're going to go through a season of trials, there's a reason. What is it? And number three, where does God want me to go from here? Once I learn this lesson, what am I supposed to do with this lesson? Am I just going to take it and bury it away and never use it again? Am I supposed to take it and just say, well, strike one up for Satan or strike one up for them? No, there's a reason. First, God, how do I respond? Do I sit back and let somebody help me? Do I enlist help? Do I just step forward and muscle the pain? It's like when Sierra always muscled the pain. But when she hit that fence that day, somebody had to go pick her up because she couldn't breathe. And because she hit at full speed. When she busted that leg, they had to go get her. She went down because that leg was done. Okay. Now, so why does God want you to learn from all this? And sometimes he's helping us learn. What I've learned is sometimes God's trying to teach me that I'm not Superman. Remember the 3 weeks I didn't preach? That's never happened ever in the ministry, ever. I've preached here after surgeries. I've preached here after I got in that car wreck. I've preached here on several times where I was told not to step foot in that church. After I had that hernia operation, it was so funny because I got a call to do my belly hernia. I got a call to do a funeral suit. Linda said, the doctor said, nothing, nothing. And so I said, it's just a funeral. And so I said, look, so I called the doctor. And she said, you call the doctor, and if he says it's okay, you can do it. So I called the doctor. You know what the doctor said? The doctor said, are you going to be a pallbearer? And I said, no. He said, well, it's fine. Just watch how you step. Well, I happened to see my other doctor. That was the on-call doctor. I happened to see the other doctor that did the surgery. A few years later, saw him just a couple weeks ago. So this is how many years back? I can't remember. Probably 4 years, 5 years back. And he goes, I said, you know, I really appreciate how you fixed that hernia because it hadn't given me any problems. I said, I just laughed though because I think about the time when I did that funeral. After you told me not to do anything, I did that funeral. And I said, but your partner said, go ahead if you ain't going to be a pallbearer. He said, is that what my partner told you? And I said, yes. He said, I wish I'd have got your call. I said, why? I said, because I'd have told you to keep your tail hung. And I said, well, you didn't, and I didn't. And I said, everything was okay. He said, well, you're hard-headed anyway. Because I slapped him twice while he was examining me. First time he examined me, I didn't mean to. Just when he hit it just right. And before I realized it, his hand was there, and he pushed. And I went, And he went, ow. I said, I'm sorry, doc. It's just a natural reflex. The second time he hit me, they'd already given me sleeping medicine. And I'm laid down there, and he goes, we're getting ready to put you under and take you out. How you doing? And he pushed really hard, and I slapped him even harder. But it hurt, you know. And I told him later on that day, I told him to apologize. So I said, I apologize for hitting you twice. He said, man, I get hit all the time. I push the wrong spot, and I get hit. Everything's cool. So one thing God wanted me to learn was I'm not Superman, and I have to learn to lean on others. I learned that lesson. And, of course, Linda says I didn't, but I did. And so again, and then what you going to do with that lesson? First, how do I respond? What are you trying to teach me? And what do I do with that lesson that you teach me? Am I going to use it, or am I just going to take it and hide it away somewhere? Then, when you ask yourself these questions, here's some things to consider. Here's your response. Now watch this, and we'll be through. God wants us to respond to life's disappointing moments with an attitude of obedience. How many got the mighty army today? I need to kind of explain that because I don't want it to seem legalistic, but I wanted it to hit home. And that was mighty army today was mighty army. Don't blame God for not listening to your prayers if you're not listening to his call to obedience. What is that talking about? Okay, God, show me what to do. And then we don't do it. And if you ask him to show you what to do and you don't do it, and then you get mad at him because it didn't work. Well, God, there's a car out in the street. What do I do? Don't step out there. You step out there and get run over and say, well, Lord, I got run over. Where were you at? I told you not to go out there. Don't blame me. I told you not to go out there. So, yeah. So, no matter how difficult your circumstance, God calls us to obey the instructions that are contained in his word. First, he wants us to remain hopeful. Always remain hopeful. As long as there's life, there's hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. We told you about there was three people in this church, three, that were told they would not make it through the day. And all three of them lived 5-6 years after. Sister Nora, they fixed it. She come back. Sister Mickey, that's the most incredible one because Sister Nora, they actually pulled the plug and then they said, we got to move her somewhere else because she's taking up room. I mean, that's amazing. Isn't that, wasn't it amazing? And then like Sister Mickey, they had called us in and said all her organs are shutting down. It won't be but a matter of time. And after being there for 6 hours, we asked the doctor, when are you going to pull that? And we already made the plans for the funeral, already had his pallbearers, everything. I called Steve, had everything settled. And I was working on the message, and I asked the doctor, well, when are you going to pull the plug? He said, pull the plug? He said, no. I remember going to a room and talking to her, and I said, what's wrong? And she couldn't talk because all the stuff was on her, the ventilator and stuff. And already told us everything was shutting down. And I looked at her, and I just said, her daughter says, I'm going to miss you, Mom, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I'm not making fun of what her mom, what her daughter said. I'm just saying is I couldn't remember all the words. She said, I'm going to miss you, Mama, and then the other stuff. And I looked over, and she walked away, and I looked over at Mickey, and I said, you don't want to die, do you? And she went, and I never done this before. I just looked at her and said, then don't. I just said, don't. And we walked out, and a couple hours later, we go back, and the doctor says, I said, we're going to pull the plug. He said, why? Everything is waking up. And then she moved into a room, just like Sister Nora. She moved into a room the next day or so, and then she lived for years. She lived at Milo Creek, and then she lived over here at Bayview in Newbern for years. And I think it was the fall. She had a fall that actually was the start of her, for lack of better terms, it was a fall that started her downfall. I'm not trying to be funny. Paul started her downfall. All right. May. We were here. David West was doing his very first painting. I got the call, said May might not make it through the night. Patrick went with me. May called me to the side. They were all around her bed. May called me to her side. She said, Pastor, he's coming for me. He's coming. And the people already said she wouldn't make it through the night. And you know what? She made it through that time. She made it through a second time. She wound up going to a nursing home, and she made it through all that nursing home. And finally, when it was time to go, she just went. You know, but she just came. And I've never seen anybody get kicked out of the hospice twice. They got kicked out of hospice twice. So that's just, I don't know if that's a record or not, but it's a record for me, you know, I know about. Okay, so it says, he instructs us to remain hopeful. Psalm 31 and 24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And here, I'm going to kind of put some Hebrew with this and kind of give a little stronger message. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Your heart take courage. All you who wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Expect. Then another verse says, be brave, be strong, don't give up. Expect God to get here soon. So then, he instructs us to remain faithful to him and wants us to become courageous. Matthew 8:26, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know, if you look at it in the Greek, he didn't say, why are you of little faith? He looked at them and said, y'all are little faith. Wow. Wow. That's powerful. So he stood up and he said, peace be still and silence. And the sea became as smooth as glass. Then God also expects us to forgive those who have injured us. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive men, he won't forgive you. What does that mean? To get to heaven, you got to be born again. But you're going to carry a lot of baggage if you're going to carry unforgiveness with you, because that's going to hinder you spiritually here and there. And there's a lot of people that are hindered now in their Christian walk because they say they're forgiven, but they haven't. And there's two parts to forgiveness. There's the actual action where you go up and you say, I forgive them. Then there's the process. Very seldom does the act and the process coincide simultaneously. Usually, there's the act, boom, and the process may take years. But, you know, and I told you about the time when I was doing July 4th message on forgiveness, and I just taken Bethany to the hospital and had her nose operated on the first time when she was 5, and they told us how bad her nose was and said it was a lot worse than if we'd known this, we would not have taken her in outpatient surgery. We'd have taken her to the hospital. She needed to be hospitalized. And went on and on and on. He had everybody in there crying how bad it was. And I was so mad at the guy that done it. And I'm sitting down and working this message about forgiveness, and the Lord said, you hypocrite. And I said, Lord, I've forgiven everybody that's hurt me. I don't know if anybody I haven't forgiven. And he said, what about the one that done that to Bethany? He said, you wanted to kill him. I said, well, I can kill him and forgive him. The Lord said, no, you got to forgive him. And from that time on, I started talking to Bethany about learning how to forgive him too. So again, I had to forgive him. I did the act, and it took years for the process. And if I actually saw him now, I cannot tell you that I'm super duper waffle whooper spiritual, man. He walked in right now, I put my arm around him and hug him and, you know, and wish him into fellowship. I can't say that. But I can say this. Over the years, the process, my heart has mellowed toward him. Okay? And again, I'm not seeing him. If I was to see him every day, I can't say what would happen. But I do know that he threatened me. And he threatened her. He said, when he got out of prison, he sent word to me. He said, you tell David and Bethany I'm coming after them. Bethany for putting me here. And she was only 2 when he did it, for putting me here. And you tell David I'm getting him because he testified against me multiple times. And so I just sent word back. I said, well, you tell him I'm a Beaufort County boy. And I got some Beaufort County talk for him. You tell him I'm a collard patch. Anytime he wants a mess, come on up here. And he never showed up. He never showed up. He was a coward. Anybody that beat a youngin like that and molest them is a coward. And he never showed up. I'm here to tell you, though, I had to learn to forgive him. That right there is the worst example of somebody hurting somebody that I can think of in my own personal life. Now, there's worse things, you know, but in my life and in life of my loved ones, that's the worst possible thing, and the Lord told me I had to learn. So that night we had to come to Jesus meeting before I preached that sermon, and I did the act. I'm still, Bethany's 26. It happened when she was 2. I'm still working on the process. okay? I can't say I'd call him in to babysit any of my grandkids. I can't say I'd leave him alone with anything I had. But like I said, okay? So, because I don't want to miss God. Yes. Yes. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's right. It'll eat at you all the time. And you have to have, remember I told you a few weeks ago, sometimes, because you got to process it. You have to process it. And here's the thing. Right. That's right. But see, here, watch this. The Bible says, as a man speaketh, that's how he is, okay? And speaking, it's all about speak the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of God. Speaking. And here's why, and I know this is not correct, and the person that taught me this would have a fit if they heard me saying this, right? But sometimes we have to have maybe a weekly brain vomit. I call it brain vomit because we've got so much junk cluttered in our, that's why it's important you get 8 hours of sleep or six, whatever it is, you take the rest. Because if you're not getting any REM, rapid eye movement sleep, when you're in the part where you're getting rapid eye movement sleep, it's during that part your brain detoxifies. Because now your brain's processing stuff, and you've got rapid eye movement, your brain's processing. And while it's processing and working through these things, you start dreaming. And while you're dreaming, you're working through the things that you're thinking about and working through the things that's bothering you. And as you're working through the things, there's toxins in your brain. And as you sleep, and you get a good amount of sleep in that rapid eye movement, it helps your brain detoxify. So that's when you wake up in the morning, let me think about this, let me sleep on it. And you're on the bed and you couldn't think of any kind of solution. You wake up and you got a solution because your brain is detoxified. So yes. Yeah. And sometimes it's better that you don't, so you can forgive them. You know, you don't have the Bible didn't say you had to be bosom buddies with them. Said you had to forgive them. But I'll come back to you, Stephen. What I was going to say is that's why that chair, until you put the chair out there, is if you got the chair out there, it helps you process because it's got to be verbalized. If as long as you don't verbalize it, then it's in there. It just keeps rolling inside of you. So once you verbalize it, then you can spew it out. Have you ever thought about sometimes just a good cry makes you feel better? You know why a good cry makes you feel better? Because I know I've told you this. They did a chemical analysis of tears, and a tear of fear is different than a tear of pain, than a tear of joy. There's a different chemical makeup. God uses tears to cleanse us. And so when you're afraid or when you're upset and you cry, there's certain chemicals that are released that actually cause you to receive a cleansing. Yeah, healing. So it's that cleansing. And remember, God always associates healing with cleansing. Always associated together, cleansing and healing. And so the same way, if you can set that chair down, that person may be dead or that may person be over in another state. But you talk to that person and put them in that chair and process it. Get it out of your mouth. Process it. Get a brain vomit. You'll feel a whole lot better. All right, go ahead, Stephen. Oh yeah, we talk about it all the time. When she was little, we talked about it every day. Oh yeah. Well, see, but All right, well, think about this. All right, here's what I want you to do. Think about this. God forgives and forgets. How does somebody with all the power, he is power, not just has all the power, he is all power. How does he forgive and forget if he's got all power? Here's how. He chooses not to remember. He chooses not to remember. Once you ask him to forgive you, he chooses not to remember that anymore. He asked for forgiveness, so I choose not to remember it. And so the same way with us. Yeah, the same way with us. I'm going to remember. There's a lot of things I remember that I didn't like, but I choose not to let it dwell on me. I choose not to dwell on it. I choose not to necessarily, I'm going to remember it, but I choose. There's things that eventually, I mean, there's things that used to eat me up all the time, things that happened in my childhood and things that people said to me. And I decided that my God and my future was a whole lot bigger and brighter than what those people said. And so I chose not to remember that, meaning I chose not to dwell on it. And whenever it did pop up, I said, no, we're not going there. And I put it behind me. And so eventually, those little words that would pop up every time I start doing something were gone because I chose not to remember it. And I chose to not, it's not a part of not, and you can't say, well, you're just denying it. No, you're not denying it at all. What you're saying is, that was a wrong statement. That was not right. That person, whatever they did to me, was not right. But I know that I cannot live my life with all that behind me. So I'm going to have to go forward. So how do I go forward? I choose to put it behind me. Paul said that he put it behind him. You got to put it behind you. So God, in all of his infinite power and infinite mercy, once you ask him to forgive you, he chooses not to remember it again. That's powerful. Amen? And it puts up a no fishing sign. The only problem is we keep fishing in it. That's right. Then finally, God wants us to treat others with kindness and gentleness. Be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. And of course, here it is. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Wow. Wow. I've had people over the years that I know had done me wrong. And I'm not talking about as a pastor, just period. I know they've done me wrong. And I come up to them, and instead of doing wrong back, I'll reach over and help them. And I watched that. And I think I know I did. There was a guy at Fountain that he hated the vice president engineer, and he hated him. And he hated what he stood for, and he hated this ISO program. And so when the president, vice president, engineering left, they made me head of the ISO. And so I go around and tell him what we'd have to do, and he'd get mad. He was the guy that did powder coat. He got so mad at me, he would call me that guy's name and tell me how stupid I was. And he didn't realize, or I reckon he didn't realize, that I had the power to influence his job loss, okay? But I wouldn't do it. I kept being nice to him. And he kept being mean to me, and I kept being nice to him. He kept talking junk to me, and I kept talking nice to him. Finally, one day, they come up, and there was two boats, two $300,000 boats, two of them, that come back, and they had bad powder coat. And it looked like there was some that he did when he first took over powder coat. And that would have been his job, because it was very expensive, and it was a very, very bad job. And that would have been the end of his job. And he came to me and he said, don't let them fire me. And I said, well, just hold on. And so I said, just hold on. And I went and researched, and I researched it as hard as to the very minute spectacle. And I found out it was the last two the other guy did before he quit. It looked like it was the one this guy did, but it wasn't. It was the one the other guy did. And so I turned in. When I turned in after I did the inspection, I turned in. It was not this guy. It was the other guy. Well, he started talking different to me. Then he called me Rev, and he talked good to me. Well, and we became good friends. Well, I left, went full-time ministry, back in full-time ministry, and he wound up moving next to my father-in-law, and I didn't even know that. And my father-in-law and him were talking one day, and he said, my son-in-law is David Linton. He used to work at Fountain. And he said the man started crying. And he said, are you okay? Did David hurt you? He said, no. He said, I can never thank him enough for what he did for me. He said, I was mean to him. I was so mean to him. and said, and he saved my job. He said, I'll do anything that man wants. All he's got to do is say it, and I'll be there. You know, and I could have, and I had the power to do something negative to him. But I said, no, that's not how this is going to go. This is not how this is going out. If it goes out, it's not because of me, it's because of him. So again, you gotta keep the positive going. You hear me? You gotta keep the positive. If you don't keep the positive going, you got a problem. So and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving readily and freely. I can forgive you if you step on my toe. But I don't know if I can forgive you if you take a knife and cut me on purpose. You say, I'm sorry, I bite up on your toe. That's all right. If you took a knife and stabbed me. Yeah, you walked into it very fastly. So, here we go. Disappointments. We're going to talk a little bit more about it next week. I hope this has been helpful. I hope this is actually, remember, there's three questions. How does God want me to respond? Down here's how to, this down here is your response. This is how to respond. How does God want me to respond? What does God want me to learn? And what does God want me to do with my lesson? Where do I go from here? Why are you teaching me this lesson, God? Why am I having to learn this lesson now? If I had a choice, as many lessons, I would have chose later in life. Okay? But God gave it to me when he knew I needed it, not when I thought I needed it. If I had my choice, my mama would not have died at 56. She'd still be alive. If I had my choice, Beverly wouldn't have died at 38. If I'd have had my choice, I would have gone to Bible college way a long time ago, and I'd have my doctor's degree by now instead of working on the BS. But again, it's all in God's time and in his hands. So, there's all kinds of things. You can look back and say, if you had your choice, this is what this would do, and this is what this would do. You know, because if you look at the blessings, there's always blessings in it. Always blessings. You know, I mean, look, yeah, there was a lot of hurt back in my life, but now I have a beautiful wife that loves God, and I have a beautiful family, and yes, there was pain back there, but God promises that I will exchange beauty for your ashes. And I'll be talking about that soon, but again, ashes, when somebody was in mourning, they sit in the ash heap, and they poured ashes on top of their head. And he said, I will exchange beauty for ashes, meaning beauty was a headdress, a beautiful headdress. It was a celebratory thing. And he said, I'll take those ashes off your head, and I'll put that celebratory headdress on. Joy. We can endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So we don't understand it all. I know I don't. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. Sometimes I kind of think, yeah. So, okay. So, let me see here. The Christmas about every day, all y'all. Yeah, you know what though? Watch this. Here's the problem. You just made me think about something. Listen to this. Listen carefully. Why God allows things to happen to us? If all you ever have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And every problem does not need a hammer. Some need a screwdriver, some need a knife, some need a pair of pliers. But if all we got in our toolbox is a hammer, every problem looks like a hammer. I mean, it's like a nail. I'm not going to say. See, you know what, though? Over the years, and I thank God, I'm telling you, I sat back and listened to some of my early sermons. I wanted to send an apology letter to the church and say, I'm sorry. I said, now that I've gotten some age on me and I've studied the word harder, and got a better understanding of the scriptures, I would have handled it a whole lot differently. Or go to people that I counsel with, or go to people that I refereed with, you know, and even people that I train. It's like when I was coaching basketball for Roar, it was one thing. But I took all those lessons, and I thought I would never coach basketball again. I took all those lessons, and then when I wound up at Benson, and I just happened to go to a basketball tryout with D.C. and Danny. And the coach said, I sure could use some help. He looked over at me. And I said, his mama went to our church. He did. He said, I sure could use some help. He looked at me. I said, well, I don't mind helping. And Barry spoke up and said, yeah, he was the head coach at Aurora for the 7th and 8th grade basketball team. And he went, look, he took the whistle and the ball and everything and went, I'm your assistant. And I said, ho. He said, no, I'm your assistant here. I said, I just told you I was going to help you. He said, you did. You just took the team. And I said, that's not what I came here for. I came to give you two boys. He said, you'd give me two boys and a coach here. But I took all that stuff. I learned, however you want to say, learned. And I carried it with me to there. And we had a winning season for 4 years in a row and went almost undefeated because of all that stuff that I learned. Because until I was trained better through these guys and learned with experience, then until then, when it come to that sport, every problem was, I mean, all I had was a hammer in my toolbox. And so over there, I got pliers and I got adjustable wrenches. And I got meters and all this stuff. So when I go over to coach, and what was so cool was all those other coaches were just taking their guys and giving one guy the ball, and everybody's going to run around with another ball guy shot. And that's not what we did. We played ball. We played ball. And I would say, and I find their shooter and shut their shooter down. And our guys, all five of our guys could shoot. And all five of our guys could get it done. And so we kept changing the strategy. So they couldn't keep up with our strategy. And they all had the same strategy. Get the ball to that guy and let him shoot. And I said, let's show them how to play some ball, boys. So every tool, the only thing I had was a hammer until I started over here with that ball team, and I got a full toolbox, and I carried that full toolbox to a place where everybody else, all their tools were a hammer. All they had was a hammer. I had a full toolbox. And so that was a toy hammer, yeah, because we run over them like locusts, you know. But again, it's because they just said, get the ball to Leroy and let him shoot. Is that what you just said, Stephen? But it wasn't just Leroy. Okay, yeah, but it wasn't just Leroy. It was Bobby and it was Tim and it was whoever. Yes, inner kidney. That part I didn't hear about. I just heard she had kidney cancer. Yes. Well, I can't keep up with Bonnie. She was living. She lived with her son, then she lived with her granddaughter, then she lived at her own place. I don't know where she's at now because I don't get a chance to see her much. So I don't know. You mean her granddaughter? Her granddaughter. Mandy. Did he want to? Did he make, she make him? Awesome. I told her about that stuff that Eddie told me about, the glucosamine and the chondroitin. It's done wonders. My father-in-law actually hardly could walk. And so I went and bought him a great big bottle of glucosamine chondroitin. Yes. Well, see, that's how we learned how to trust what he said. It's because of my dog. And I'm going to explain myself, Eddie. Eddie kept trying to get me to take it, and I wouldn't. I went home and cried every night. My knees hurt so bad, and I couldn't walk. You know, y'all couldn't hardly climb up here half the time. And so Maddie was walking funny. Yeah, and we went and had an x-ray, and the doctor called us in and said, I just called State, NC State, to figure this out. And this is her hip, and there was her hip joint. Instead of being like this, we kept hearing a click. It was like this, it was clicking in and out. And they said, the only way to fix it is to replace the hip, which is like $6,000, that ain't gonna happen. Or cut the bone and just let the muscle do it. They said, or you can let the dog lose weight. And give her this glucosamine. And so we started giving her glucosamine, and in a week, she was running. And here's the best place to go get it. Go to Walgreens, and they have their own red and white label stuff. It's a white bottle with a red label, and they have triple strength glucosamine. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff in Biflex, not Triflex. Biflex. Triflex is probably even better. But the Biflex, I don't think you can get a Me Too Triflex, but you can get a Me Too Biflex. Well, I started with Dollar General stuff. If you go buy the actual Biflex, it's going to cost you $30 or $40 a month. If you go to, listen to me, if you go to Walgreens, get their triple strength glucosamine. It's in a white bottle with red label. If you every other month, it's buy one, get one free. It's $8 a bottle. If you go every other month and get two bottles, you're only going to pay $4 a month for triple strength glucosamine. I gave it to my father-in-law. He's walking now. It's glucosamine. Just tell me you want. It's glucosamine chondroitin. Just go in there and tell me you want. Look for glucosamine. It's going to be triple strength. And really, while it's in the red and white label, it's probably in the middle of the vitamins. Look over with all the arthritis stuff. And it's glucosamine triple strength. It's $8 a bottle. If you get every other month, you can get it one bottle. Buy one bottle, get one bottle free. So for $4 a month, I'm talking about, I couldn't do that. I was killing me. And today, you know, I told Jeannie, you know how I prayed for the church service today? I ran around the church four times. A couple years ago, I couldn't even walk up here without her. You saw, I was limping when I get up here. And I run around the church. And Emmaus, whomever went to Emmaus, y'all know how far Emmaus, that Camp Caroline, how far those cabins are. When the first couple times I went, I had to wait for them to come get me with a golf cart to carry me. The last couple times I went, I ran. Wherever I went, I'd run from the conference room, I'd run all the way back, and it was like running, it was well past the fellowship hall. Y'all know that, way past the fellowship hall. I was to the stop sign, I would run, and I'd run back. And on Sunday mornings, doing praise and worship, how many see me on Sunday morning doing praise and worship? Practice. And what did I do? I run back there, and I run back. It feels good, it makes it feel better, and I'm telling you, That stuff is awesome. No, it's pills. You take two pills a day. My father-in-law takes one of them. It says take them with meals. You got to take them with meals because they make you sick at your stomach. But you take one in the morning and one at night. Well, I just take two in the morning so I won't forget them. And Eddie was the brain behind this. But although Eddie was telling me, it's actually when I saw my dog recuperate in a week. I said, what he's talking about, it's got to work. A dog got it from the vet. They're in chews. It's in chews. And yeah, we get ours at PetSmart. We get some of ours at PetSmart. Sometimes we get it from the vet, but it has helped Maddie tremendously. And I get if you look at some kind of dog food, some of the dog foods itself say with joint supplements. And you look at what the joint supplement is, and it's glucosamine, chondroitin. It's in the people side, yeah. I tell you what, if any of y'all were ever there and I'm in Washington, if you'll text me before you go and I'm in Washington, I'll meet you there and I'll make sure you get the right stuff. I'll have no problem with it. I'm willing to help you. Yeah. No, he's not kidding. Because Daniel was doing a safety, Edwards was doing a was building in a Merida plant. Y'all want to know something about this? Merida bread. If you go to go to Food Line, you can pay $2 or $3 for a loaf of Merida bread. He said, "Daddy, don't do that." I said, "Well, my favorite bread is Dollar General bread." He says, "You know why?" I said, "Why?" He said, "I was sitting in the Merida plant, watching them make the $3 loaf Merida bread." He said, "And they stopped the lines and switched the labels and started running the same bread. It was Dollar General bread for $1.25. And it's the best bread I've had. So I love it. So I go to Dollar General, pay $1.25. If you pay a dollar for any loaf of bread in Food Line, it's going to be like, it feels like it's 10 days old. But that Merida bread is a soft, used to Wonder Bread was like that. Wonder Bread isn't soft like it used to be. But Merida bread, you cannot beat the softness and the freshness. And it's $1.25. at the Dollar General, buying their brand, which is Merida. Before you get out of the store. And their bananas. I buy their bananas. I get their bananas put in the cart. They're green when I put it in the cart. By the time I check out, they're yellow. By the time I get it home, they're black. Yeah. But they all get it from the same place. You know, yeah. But you know what? You know what, though? You know what? I had a friend of mine drove a gas truck, the big old tanker. And he said, when I go to the stores, like the Hess station, he says, I've got two grades of gas in my thing. I've got high test and regular, premium and regular. And he says, what I do is, for the medium grade, I mix them. Right there at the pump, I mix it. And he says, you won't believe how many stores I go to, different brand stores with the same gas. Uh-huh. Cool. That's cool. I'll tell you this. For the diabetics, and I learned something. Have you ever looked on the back of stuff? Now we're just off the chart now. We're not even, we might as well just go ahead and throw the other, not throw it out, but just say we're starting another session here. Look. Sugar alcohol. Have you ever looked at, I was really getting upset because I go looking for sugarless or low sugar stuff for my mother-in-law who's a bad diabetic. And I saw something that said, well, it only had like 1 gram of sugar, but it had 10 grams of sugar alcohol. And I said, well, I'm not saving anything. I'm not helping anything. And I started doing some research on it. And the sugar alcohol is what they put in. It's not alcohol at all, like you think alcohol is. And they put it in stuff that they're trying to make sugarless. And what it is watch this. If it says 6 grams of sugar alcohol, take it. If it says 6 grams, it's only 3 grams. It's only equivalent to 3 grams of sugar. Half, cut it in half. And then take the half that you take from it and subtract that from the carbohydrates. So if it said it had 10 grams of carbohydrates, now you've only got 5 grams of carbohydrate because the sugar alcohol, it cuts back the sugar, and it cuts back the carbohydrates. But the only problem is if you get something high in sugar alcohol, the side effect of high sugar alcohol is diarrhea. That's closing prayer. I don't put that on the web. Now, medical advice here. That's right. If you sing, I've got a hammer. I'll go ahead and dismiss this in prayer, Mr. Hammer. MC Hammer.